If you've got a Bible, please turn with me to that passage in Ephesians that we looked at. And my text is, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me. Verse 18 in Ephesians and chapter 6. I wonder as you come tonight how important prayer is to you personally and to you as a congregation of God's people. I went to a conference last year abroad and I was the speaker. Admittedly, it was only a short conference, but there was no time of corporate prayer. There was time for questions, there was a lot of me preaching, but no corporate prayer. And I thought something's wrong. And the church was weak. The churches were weak. They needed God to hear their prayer and to come to them. How easy it is to let prayer drift, to become cynical about it, to become used to it, to become used to acting in our own strength. And then I pondered, well, why is it that they so neglected prayer? Perhaps there was something wrong with the preachers. And I thought, John, when did you last preach on prayer? And I couldn't remember. I used to preach on prayer when I went through the books. You know, John preached on Jesus' prayer. Ephesians, well, you preach on prayer several times. Three lots of prayer in there. But since I retired, I'd never preached on it. And I thought, well, why don't you preach on it? Prayer's a discipline, isn't it? And its practice gets tougher in my experience with age, and that's why I didn't preach on it. The preacher can feel a hypocrite urging others to pray while struggling with it himself, or not praying at all. And so I thought, you need to pray. So what do? You preach on it, because that makes you pray. How can I preach on prayer and not pray? I've often, in my preaching, preached on things which I've needed to hear myself so that I might survive. It's a great thing to be a preacher, you know, because your nose is kept to the scriptures. And you're kept out of all sorts of trouble because you have to look at the scriptures so often. And so I thought I'd preach on prayer to you. Let's look at us as churches. What's our impact in our families or our society? Where are the conversions? I travel more. And like one of your elders said to me this afternoon, we see so little impact on complete outsiders with the gospel. So few conversions. And I think, yeah, that's true in Yate too. We were looking at something on midweek, and I happened to say to the group there, I've been visiting streets with gospel literature and in the past knocking on their doors for 36 years. I've seen hardly anything as a result of that work. Distressing, awful. Each time I go around now with the leaflets, I'm more distressed as I think of people who have lived in these houses, who have passed on, died and gone to hell without Christ, unresponsive to the gospel. Why is it? You see, one thing we need is that the God, the Holy Spirit, would come to help us live our Christian lives in such a way that we shine in this dark world. Our society is sick enough, dark enough, horrible enough for us to be even more sparkly than ever before, because we Christians are different. And yet, sadly, we're not. I wonder how long it is since you prayed a prayer like that of Psalm 86 that I read out. Hear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Used to feel like that. I still am like that. I don't often feel it, because I'm told that I ought to be no longer this miserable worm theology, but sort of triumphant, victorious. But I'm not. I'm poor and needy. I need to pray. I need God's grace as much as I ever needed God's grace. And so I'm going to preach on prayer. Prayer, the first point, is so, so important. You can't be a Christian if you don't pray. It isn't that prayer saves you, but that it is that if you are saved, you pray. The baby lives as it comes out of the womb. But it shows that it lives by actually immense bellowing. And everybody rejoices to hear its cry. The rejoicing over crying soon stops. But at least with that first cry, there is, you know, it's alive, it's well, it's vigorous, it's crying. Praise God, if you're a Christian, that's what you say. And so it is with a Christian. As he's born again by the Spirit, he cries out to God for repentance and faith and continues to cry out. What would you think of a newborn baby that only breathed once? Well, it wouldn't live for long, would it? So what? Why the Christians only pray at the beginning and stop praying? Well, they die like the baby died, in a sense that the vigor's gone out of life if there is no prayer. Once when I was preaching on prayer in Ephesians years ago, a man came into the meeting who'd never been before. I was a bit embarrassed because prayer is so much a Christian thing. What was I going to say to this man? He might never come again. So I said, do you pray? To all everybody. And I said, if you're not a Christian, don't bother about the mechanics of prayer or what you might pray about. You just need to pray one thing. Lord, save me, as we looked at this morning. And that was it. I had no more gospel application. And his wife had been telling this man that that's just what he ought to have done for years. So he went home, and he used to swim in the afternoon. And as he was swimming up the baths, he kept praying, Lord, save me. And he was saved. So if you're not a Christian tonight, all I've got to say to you is that's what you need to do. Cry out to God to save your soul, to come to Christ, as I pointed to you this morning. But if you might weren't there this morning, well, think about that. Lord, save me. But the text is written to Christians, and Paul is telling them to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me. Prayer is what he's emphasizing. He's urging them to pray and to pray for him. And as we think of the importance of prayer that Paul is urging on us here, our mind drifts to Christ. We remember the Lord Jesus, how important he saw prayer. He was the Lord of glory, come from heaven to save, and yet he devoted lots of time to pray. There was one Sabbath day, he'd been teaching, he'd been driving out demons, he'd healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law, and right as the sun was setting, people brought people to him, and he drove out demons and he healed them, and we know that that took strength out of him. And you might have thought, well, sometimes as preachers do, it's Monday today, I'm just going to have a lazy day. Well, it would have been, wouldn't have been Monday for him, but it would have been Sunday. But what did he do? Well, it tells us in Mark. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Remarkable. You see that? He prayed. He prayed. He saw it as important. We have samples of his praying. In John 17, that phenomenal prayer. And then Gethsemane, when he was in real need. And then he gave us a model prayer, didn't he? The Lord's Prayer. And said we should always pray and not give up. And then he urged prayer on his disciples in Gethsemane. So Paul, following the Master, is highlighting prayer here and praying. Martin Lloyd-Jones says this, prayer is important because it's the end to which all knowledge and teaching in Scripture is meant to bring us. It's meant to bring us to know God and to have fellowship with God. And he goes on to say, knowledge is of little value if we lack divine fellowship. And that's true, isn't it? There has got to be that emotional relationship element to our Christianity. It isn't just a matter of having a head full of systematic theology, or even a head full of Scripture. We need to have a heart, that's the head, emotions and will and life. We need to have a whole life full of God and a relationship with God. And prayer is the way that we have communion with God. I've always liked Bunyan's definition of prayer. When I was a student, I came across this little booklet on prayer from America. It's been printed by the Banner of Truth since. And I wondered what prayer was all about. And Bunyan said, prayer is that sincere, affectionate, intelligible pouring out of our hearts to God through the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Spirit for such things as God has promised in his word for God's glory and the good of the church. A heartfelt thing. When was your heart last moved in prayer? So often my heart's cold. Don't know about you, I think it gets colder with age. If we're sort of, the vital energy of life is running down. It shouldn't be like that. But we need to be moved. Our hearts need to be poured out in prayer to God. For such things as God has promised, for the glory of God and the good of the church. We're prone to neglect prayer. Why are we prone to neglect prayer? Because it's hard to do. It really is a spiritual activity. It's warfare to carry on praying. And also, it has no immediate discernible results. And we live in a pragmatic age. And I'm particularly driven by what I can produce. If I spend a day in prayer when I was full time, I thought, well, have I worked? Is that really work? Is that what the church is paying me for? And I might feel restless. But if I spent a day preparing three sermons, I'd think, great, I've done a lot of work today. Because I have paper there. I'd produce something. And that's why prayer's difficult. It doesn't fit in with our pragmatic performance age. How do you classify it? How do you measure it? How do you know what it's going to do for you? The Lord got up early to pray. In a very busy time, he created time to pray. And so we should do that as individuals and churches. We should pray. Get up early to pray. Now, what about those students of you? You guys. I used to think, when I get older, I'll have more time for prayer. But looking back now, I see that the most time I ever had for prayer is when I was a student, when I lived in that tower block in Manchester, in the morning and in an evening. And I look back with the fond memories of some of those times I had there in praying. And it's got tougher since. So get into good habits now. Pray, pray as you start the day and as you finish the day. The main verb is praying, linked with what's gone before. Taking the helmet of salvation, praying, keeping alert. We should pray every prayer. When we should pray, on all occasions, and how we should pray. In the Spirit. But to help us remember, there are four alls here. So this is the first point is the importance of prayer. The second point is the four alls. All prayer, all times, all perseverance for all the saints. Let's look briefly at this. And praying by means of all praying, he says, and petitions. All prayer is translated, all kinds of prayer in the NIV. The whole range of speaking with God is in view. Praise, thanksgiving, requests. You remember that acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. It's good to have structure in prayer so that you don't just rush into your needs. And you should start with God. And if you feel dry, starting with God is aided by starting with a psalm like we did today. Something that points you to God. I'm poor and needy. Teach me your way. It gives you lots of fodder for prayer, that psalm. And all the psalms are like that. If you don't know what to pray for and you want to start with God, start with a psalm and turn it into prayer, adoration, confession of sin, thanksgiving for all that God has done, and then supplication, what you need. An illustration of what this, what were they to pray for is there in verse 19. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. I don't know when this was written. But if they prayed for Paul, God answered their prayers, didn't he? What a fearless preacher he was. I'm amazed by Paul. How often have you been beaten up for preaching the gospel? Don't know whether anybody here has. I've never had anything. The worst thing that's happened to me physically is that a dog bit me when I was delivering the leaflets. I've never had anything else. And I have managed to go back and deliver leaflets. I don't think it'd take more than one beating on my back, as we saw this morning, to put me off. Yet Paul was nearly stoned to death. He was beaten several times. Yet constant trouble and trial, people hated him, drove him out, told him to get out of their city. And again, when people have told me to get out of their houses, I've had less courage next time to talk to someone else, because I think, are they going to throw me out again? But Paul was fearless. He got up, shook himself down, went on to the next city and did it again and was thrown out. And did it again and was thrown out. And did it again and was thrown out. God answered prayer, didn't he? That's what we need to think about. We need to see that and the dynamic. You can see the need for prayer. Devote yourselves to pray. Pray for me. And so that's what he's urging on them. I wonder whether you pray for each other like that. At all times, it says, on all occasions, particularly at critical times, but prayer in happy times too, when alone, in church, when with other Christians. Prayer is that humble dependence upon God for big things, but also for small things. It says, cast your care on him because he cares for you. And I don't know about you, but I get worked up over all sorts of trivial things. And it does me no good at all. And it's, you, when you're worked up, you're so prone to say the wrong thing at home, aren't you? Be irritable, snappy, because you're on edge. You don't know how you... Well, why not pray about it? I did recently over something very, very trivial. An odd job that I had to do. I had a dream about it, thinking that the screw was going to get stuck. And then I got all worked up and I put it off and I put it off and I put it off because I couldn't face it. And I thought, you've got to get on with it. It's too trivial to call somebody around to do. You must do it. I prayed. The screw came out. The screw went back in. It was all over. Trivial. And yet it taught me a lesson that it wasn't. It's trivial to you, do it yourself, men. You know, that I was so used to it. But if you can't do something, even trivial things can work you up and overhang your life and take your joy away. But if you commit them to God and pray, you get on with it. And God is there to help you. And the big things too. They're more difficult. Trivial example. The bigger things like life and death and grief. Much more complex. That's why we struggle with prayer. But at least we should think like this when we're cut up with grief. As I remember that not long ago. And I didn't know what to pray. I was angry and sad. And I went to the prayer meeting. And I couldn't pray. But my brothers and sisters prayed, and I got better. You know, that was good, you see. That shows the wonder of prayer. I could have stayed away. I felt too sore to do anything. But there, amidst God's people, these people who were younger in the faith than me, younger in years than me, prayed beautifully in a way which God answered and helped me. So we should pray at all times. In all prayer, all perseverance, keep on praying. There's never a time you can stop praying. Never a time. Never a time when you'll have reached that apex of life that you won't need to pray. The spiritual warfare lasts until you reach glory. And it gets more intense, more difficult as you get older. Because that last great enemy is to be faced, death, and then glory. And so we need to persevere in praying, even when we're old, even when we've prayed so often before. When I was at full time, I used to pray through the church members. And there were some prayers that I prayed for 25 years, and they still needed it. And I used to say to God, I used to think like saying, see above. I don't know if you've ever written a book, and you write all the details, and then you put a note, see above, and see what's gone before. In other words, you can't say it again. And I used to think when I opened the book, well, all the things are still there and they're still needed. People have these spiritual needs. But it says with all perseverance we're to keep on at it. And then for all the saints, for all God's people. The focus of our prayers is often too parochial, too much like the trivia over that screw that I gave you an illustration. Too narrow. You need a larger view, and we've no excuse for not having a larger view, because with the internet, all this information, you can hear about what's happening in Kenya, you can read about the accounts of Christians, you can listen to them, even now they can, you know, you can click on voice type things on your computer, you can see pictures of them running away, So we need to pray for all the saints worldwide, and what a great task that is. We might find it hard to evangelize, but if we pray and give for our missionaries in Kenya that we do in our own congregation, then they've seen conversions. The things that we've paid for and enabled them to do has resulted in souls being brought into the kingdom, and we can rejoice with them as we pray for them. So pray for all the saints. Have a big view of the kingdom. It's God's design and plan that the whole world should benefit from Christ. And so pray for that. So the importance, the for alls. And then he tells us, thirdly, to be alert, or more literally, watching in all perseverance. In other words, don't give up, but watch about giving up. Don't give up. Be alert about it. Be careful. You know what Jesus said in Gethsemane? Watch and pray. And have you thought about Gethsemane? The disciples went to sleep. The only man that really starred for God on the next day was the one that stayed awake and prayed. Jesus prayed and did that tremendous act of salvation on the cross. The disciples fell asleep and fled. God was gracious to them. And so the Lord has warned us to watch and pray lest we fall into temptation. It's so easy when we're busy with work or pleasure that prayer slips away from us. Meeting with other people becomes more important than meeting with God. Think of how we Christians spent Christmas. Have you ever thought of that? Over the years, Christmas Day has fallen on a Sunday several times when I've been a preacher. People saying, can't. What's Christmas all about? It's all about celebrating the coming of our great and glorious God from heaven and becoming one of us in order to save us. Jesus, for he'll save his people from their sins. Can there be any other time? Can there be any better time other than perhaps Easter when we remember the death and resurrection for meeting together, for praying, for delighting in our great Saviour? And yet people have said to me, you're not having an evening service on Christmas Day, are you? An evening service on Christmas Day on a Sunday. It's a family time. You see how foolish we are. These are Christians. It's not non-Christians. You wouldn't expect non-Christians to think about that. But you see, we're supposedly celebrating the birth of our Lord by pleasing ourselves and neglecting prayer. Indeed, perhaps that week of Christmas week is perhaps the week we pray least of all because we're so busy with the Christmas puddings and the vegetables and the family and the late nights and the games and all the other things that we cease to pray. That's a challenge to me. Are you regularly at the church prayer meeting? Well, it says be alert. If you're not, why not come this week? Has your own time of prayer slipped? Well, start again. To neglect prayer is folly. It's folly for two reasons, because prayer is coming before Almighty God. He is Almighty. He's able to do what he pleases in the heaven above and the earth beneath. And therefore, we have such a privilege of coming before him. And it's folly not to pray, because without God, we can do nothing. All our schemes and plans and efforts are useless unless God is there. Indeed. Unless God upholds your breath and my breath, we could be dead next minute. Our lives are in God's hands. And to neglect prayer, to neglect seeking God's blessing and grace and guidance is folly. You've got illustrations over and over again in the Old Testament of that. So prayer is important for alls. Watch, be alert. Two final things. Its connection with the armour and what it means to pray in the Spirit. How is it connected with what's gone before, with the armour? I think the hymn captures it, doesn't it? Put on the gospel armour, each piece put on with prayer. Prayer is emphasised within the context of this passage of Scripture. The standing firm, the praying, the keeping alert. The standing firm and the praying go together. In order to stand firm, you need to pray. In order to put on the gospel armour, you need to pray. The wielding of the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, is via prayer. They're vitally linked. The two must go together, the word and prayer. And the great weakness we're experiencing as churches is that we've lost confidence in both of them, the word and prayer. And we do neither. We're more taken up with the new. We prefer drama, song, poems, anything rather than the word of God applied by prayer. When you think of something new, it's rarely the word or prayer that's that new thing that we as churches want to do. And that's a great sadness. And that's why we're weak. Paul wants us to understand that prayer is foundational to the deployment of all the other weapons and therefore is crucial to us when it comes to standing firm in the struggle. If we're to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, if we're to stand using the armour, then the means by which we do that is by all prayer as we depend on God. Let me illustrate. When doubt crosses your mind and afflicts you, you put on the truth of God's word by praying, reading it and praying over it and praying that God will apply it to your soul. Do you know what I mean by the word of God applied to your soul? You see, when I've been troubled and tried in my life, it isn't sufficient just to read it. I can read the promises, but they don't mean anything. They don't have any impact. What I need is the Spirit to apply them to my soul with power so that I'm able to live them out. So I'm able to know its power. Now that's something it's difficult to describe, but that's the prayer and the word going together. That's why we need the two, and to pray in the Spirit. When guilt arises and despair grips you over sin, do you feel like that? How can you be a Christian, someone says to you, because you're such a mess? And then they go and tell you, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I've sometimes been taken apart like that in church life, and everything they've said is true. And you go to God and you see Christ, that all-sufficient Saviour. And you know that you're accepted with God in Christ, even though you're a mess, and that there is forgiveness. And so you can take each piece of the gospel armour and use it like that. And lastly, he says, pray in the Spirit. How are we to understand this term? Well, it's not inward prayer. It's not some special time of prayer. It's not speaking in tongues. It's nothing to do with speaking in tongues. You've got to read that into it. There's a comparable phrase in Jude. But you, dear friend, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Spirit. Well, what is it then? Well, we'll see it in the context of Ephesians, and particularly of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18. If you turn with me to that. For he says, through him, that's Christ, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Their prayers are to be in or by the Spirit that inspires and guides them. The same Spirit through whom they have access to the Father. The Spirit's work is shown as indwelling God's people and indwelling God's community, as he says in verse 22 of chapter 2. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So God's Spirit lives in each Christian and within the Christian community. He unites them to Christ and all the blessings that Christ brings. And he stirs up in us that desire to pray. He helps us understand Christ's work, that Christ's high priestly role, and enables us to come before the throne of grace in our time of need. The Spirit gives a new heart. The Spirit gives repentance and faith, and so on. Indeed, you cannot pray unless you pray in the Spirit. You need the Spirit to stir you up, to enable you to pray. The Holy Spirit's work is vital in every aspect of the Christian's life. You see, but the Holy Spirit particularly enables you to understand the Word of God and turn it into prayer. And that's fundamental. What should you pray for? How should you pray? It's the Spirit that gives that wisdom and ability. You see that particularly with Daniel's prayer in Daniel 9. He read in Jeremiah that promise that God would send them back after 70 years and he would be inquired of. In other words, God would stir people up to pray to him. So what did Daniel do? He saw that the 70 years were coming up. He prayed, he fasted, put on sackcloth, and he confessed. He prayed earnestly, ardently. The Holy Spirit gave him understanding of the word and gave him the ability to turn that word into prayer, and the people went back. And the Messiah came. Tremendous prayer. And so we need to have the Holy Spirit help us to pray. And the Holy Spirit's a great comforter. Sometimes we're so pushed in our praying, so pushed with our troubles, that you just start to pray and you have no idea what to pray for. And then you remember that great comfort, those groans from Romans. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans which cannot be expressed. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Through the Spirit, in the Spirit working in us, each Christian is able to come before God and even in the most troubled and trying times know that God understands and that the Spirit is there to help them pray and seek help from God. So, we've seen this evening, as I wrap this up, as I finish my sermon, we've seen this evening that prayer is important. We've seen the four alls. We've seen that we need to be alert. We've seen its connection with the armour and that we need the Holy Spirit to enable us to pray at all. But what are we going to do about it? Will you do anything about it? We are weak. We're in desperate need as churches. Will listening to this sermon produce any change? I remember one time a brother at church was undergoing a really severe trial with one of his children. Really, really distressed. And it was distressing. Oh, I didn't know what to say to him. But I said to him, you know, if you and your wife came to the prayer meeting on Wednesday and again on Saturday and again on Monday, God might be so gobsmacked he'd act. And that's true. I was there at those meetings. She wasn't, he wasn't either. The child is still in trouble. But you see, that's the point, isn't it? There's nothing I could do for them. I'd done my best for the boy and failed. Some church members never come to a prayer meeting, never pray with their brothers and sisters. I'm amazed, but that's true. Some of the young ones work me over and say, when they come into church membership, one of the duties is to be at the church prayer meeting. And they say to me, you're weak. What about so-and-so? What about so-and-so? What about so-and-so? They're never there. And I say, yeah, what about them? I've warned them. I've urged them. I've pleaded with them. I've preached to them. But they're not there. I can't go and make their legs work. Maybe you can, young man. You pray for them. But you be there. You be there. That's the thing, isn't it? That's sad. Are you one of them? Are you one of those church members that never pray? The other thing that distresses me about that is that I find it easier to pray in the church than I do at home. I rarely can manage an hour at home. I sometimes have when I was younger. I rarely do it now. But I can manage an hour at church because other people are praying. So if you never come to church to pray, do you ever pray at home? And if you never pray, well, are you a Christian? Then let this word of God change you. With all prayer, at all times, always keep on praying for all the saints with alertness, using prayer in the armour and above all praying in the Spirit. Will you personally do anything as a result of this sermon in terms of your personal life, in terms of you men leading your family in worship, in terms of your church life? You see, to listen to the word of God and never to put it into action, or not to reduce it to action, to say, yes, I will do that. Like this morning, I don't know how many of you went home and washed up. But, you know, I reduced it to action. So, this week, turn up at the prayer meeting and pray.